Well, I would like, if you grabbed a bulletin, I'd like you to pull that out, and right there on the top front it says, Jesus is dot, dot, dot. And if you have a pen, or there should be little pencils in front of you, I want you to flip that over to the blank side, and I want you to write on there, just finish that sentence. The one that's on the front that says, Jesus is. Okay, the sentence is started on the front. So on the back, I want you to finish that sentence. So you could write on the back, Jesus is, and then finish that thought. And while you're doing that, you're not going to do that too, but we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, for those of you who want to follow along with your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And, you know, you can't ignore the sermon title up there for your answer. If that was going to be your answer anyways, that's fine. Jesus is what? Jesus is who? Jesus is... I'm just asking these questions. I don't want you to write this. I just want you to answer that. There's a lot of things, ways that we could describe Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is loving. In fact, the elders went through, have been studying on Wednesday nights. We've been looking at discipleship, and we've been asking the question, what is a disciple? What does a disciple look like? And one of the answers we gave was, a disciple looks like Jesus. Or disciple, you could say a disciple is growing to look like Jesus. So a disciple of Jesus is learning to look like Jesus, is growing to look like Jesus. And so what does Jesus look like? What characteristics, what qualities, what attributes does Jesus have? And so that's what we're going to be doing. This is a new series that we're starting, and so over the next couple of months we're going to be looking at not just who Jesus is, as in, well, he's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. We're going to be looking at who Jesus is, what kind of character does he have. And the reason we're going to be doing that is because Jesus is our goal. Okay, so this is my answer for Jesus is. This is my first answer for Jesus is. Jesus is the goal. The goal. And I tried to come up with a good way to say this. Jesus is our model. Jesus is our example. But he's not just that. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. It was he who gave some to be apostles, he being Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors, that's shepherds, elders, and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, you can actually read this passage and take some answers for Jesus is, just from this passage, Jesus is the head of his body, the church. Jesus is the one who calls people, calls evangelists, calls prophets, calls elders, calls teachers. The reason I put Jesus is the goal is because of verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This morning in the teenager Sunday school class, we talked about two concepts, salvation and sanctification. That's right, they're raising their hands because they were there. salvation and sanctification. Salvation, this is why we tell people about the love of Jesus. Salvation is what brings us, it gives us eternal life. That's what salvation is life. And so when we are dead in our sins, and God wants us to have life. He wants us not just to have life now, He wants us to have life with Him forever. And so we need salvation, not condemnation. We need life, not death. And so we tell people about Jesus. And we bring to Jesus everything that we have, everything that we are, no matter what it looks like. And here's why I want to talk about these two concepts, salvation and sanctification. And that is, we're going to talk about looking like Jesus, but that's for those people who are in Jesus. Okay? And this is why I say Jesus is the goal. Jesus is not just our model. He's not just an example. We don't go around looking at other people and say, you need to be like Jesus. The first thing we need to do is when we look at people and say, you need to be in Jesus. There's all sorts of metaphors and illustrations in Scripture, in the New Testament, in the Christian walk. Even the idea of walking, that's a metaphor. Paul likes to mix his metaphors. You'll notice in verse 14, you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. I don't know about you, how many of you let your infants be, I don't know, in like the ocean or in the waves, and they're just tossing about and you're just watching, laughing at them or something like that. You know, Paul's mixing his metaphors. There's all sorts of metaphors that Paul uses, that Scripture uses, that the New Testament uses, that Jesus used to talk about who we are and talk about where we are going and what we are doing and how we are going to get there. So Jesus is the goal. What I mean by that is that Jesus is the person to whom we want other people to find their identity in. We don't want them to just model their lives after Him. So but somebody is not a Christian, they are not saved, and we see them and they're living their life for themselves, they're sinning, and we see that the sin in their lives, and we see how it hurts them, we see how it hurts others. We may be mad at their sin because they're doing something that upsets us. And we see that in them. Our first thought shouldn't be, well, they need to stop doing that and start living the right way. Our first thought should be, they need Jesus. He is the goal for their lives. Would we like everybody to live righteous lives, to live the way God wants us to live? Yes, absolutely. But I don't know about you, but we need God's Spirit to do that in our lives. I struggle choosing to live the right way. I struggle saying the right things. I struggle with acting the way God wants me to act. And so I need His Spirit to help me do that. How can we expect those who are not in Christ to live the way God wants them to live if they don't have God's transforming work in their lives, if they don't have Jesus? We can't. This is why we read scriptures like, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody has broken the law. Even those of us who weren't given the law broke the law because we were given the law in our hearts, even if we weren't given the Mosaic law. This is all from Paul in Romans. So salvation comes first, and Jesus is the goal for everybody. We want everybody to meet Jesus. We want everybody to be identified with Jesus, to give their lives to Jesus, to have faith and trust in Jesus. And then the other idea is sanctification, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning and the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at growing to become like Christ, being made holy. Sanctification is the process by which we are made holy. It is something the Spirit does in us. It is God's work in our lives. So we can't go around and just will ourselves to be more holy. What we can do is cooperate with God in His work in our lives. We can cooperate with God and His work in our lives. Now I want to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16 again. It was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be elders and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ, that is, God's people, those who are in Christ, may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. We will grow up into Jesus. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I like the word cooperate because this is something we do with each other. This is something we do with God. We cooperate with His work and we cooperate with each other so that we can all grow old together. No. So that we can all grow up. All of us. So that we can grow to maturity in Christ and grow into Christ. He is the goal. Now, I said I wasn't, model. I was trying to think of a way to phrase this. I do kind of like model. Any imagery we use, any metaphor, any way we talk about who we are in Christ, there are usually limits to what that means. For instance, being the body of Christ. We were told that Jesus' body was raised in glory. God raised Jesus' body in glory, that He has a new body, and that we will be raised in glory with Him. Paul says this. We just had a longtime member, a good friend, Alice Johnson, passed away. And the service was yesterday. And one of the things that was talked about was her future. We talk about her passing away, her death, but we still talk about her future. Isn't that strange? Because we are raised with Jesus. We are resurrected with Jesus. And Paul says that we are raised in glory. In glory, like Jesus. And our new bodies are like His. So Jesus, when God raised Him from the dead, Jesus appeared to people. We have their testimony. He appeared to His family and He appeared to His disciples and the apostles. And they got to touch Him. They got to touch Jesus. Jesus even ate fish. That's about the only time I will eat fish is after I've dead and raised. As a joke. I don't like fish. Jesus ate fish after... You're like shaking your head. What's wrong with you? After Jesus was crucified, buried, and God raised Him from the dead, His friends, His followers, His family got to see Him and touch Him and talk with Him and even eat with Him. And yet we are called the body. We are the body of Christ. It's a metaphor. It's imagery that helps us understand our identity is found in Jesus and that we act on His behalf in this world, that we represent Christ to the world and to each other, and that we are united together and work together for the same purpose, building each other up, growing to maturity. In this one idea of being the body of Christ are so many elements about how we are to live and how we are to work together and treat each other and live our lives in Jesus. And so Jesus is the goal. He's the one that we want to not just be like, but remain in. He is the one that God is transforming us as we work together, as we cooperate with each other and with God to live lives of righteousness. I'm curious, we don't have time, and I don't know if you'd really want to. If you do, you feel free to raise your hand, what you guys wrote with the Jesus is. Some of you, yeah? Perfect, okay. That's okay. Jesus is awesome, all right. Jesus is perfect, Jesus is awesome. Anybody else want to share? You don't have to. Don't feel obligated. All right, now you already had one. Okay, the other hand. Go ahead. Jesus is not a Spanish name. Yes. Jesus is the coolest man in the world. I like that. That's pretty awesome. Yes, Ellie. Jesus is holy. Okay. These are good. Jesus is holy. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is the coolest man in the world. I like those. That's some pretty high expectations, isn't it? For us to attain to. Yes, Adeline. Jesus loves us. Yes, Jesus does love us. We could say Jesus is love. Not just loving. Jesus is love. That's actually biblical. Okay, one more. Jesus invented love. Okay, Jesus is love. That's greater than inventing love. Jesus is love. That's a good answer. Okay, so Jesus is a pretty high expectation, right? Yeah, we walk around, and practically speaking, I mean, we like to be practical, don't we? We like to be practical people, and practically speaking, we like to say Jesus is too high of an expectation, and so, you know, he's perfection, we're not going to reach that, right? Don't you like to say that? I mean, even if you don't say it out loud, don't you like to think that? Like, it's kind of a relief for us to say, well, I don't have to be perfect. Isn't that a relief? Do you ever try and kind of rationalize your sin that way sometimes? You know, I'm talking for those of us who are united with Christ in baptism. We are found in Christ and we're called to put to death our sin and to put on Christ, to clothe ourselves with Christ. By the way, we're getting so many metaphors. You know, we could spend all of our time just on one of these. But we put Christ over us. He's so awesome. He's so perfect. And boy, I would love to just not have to be like Jesus. I mean, practically, when I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing and I feel bad about it, I just would like to not have to be like Jesus. And there's a message of grace. There's a message of grace that says that we don't have to be like Jesus to be saved. We don't have to be like Jesus to go to heaven. We don't have to be like Jesus to be in the presence of God. We become like Jesus because of the grace of God in us. We become like him because we are in Jesus. We are united with Jesus in baptism. We are united in his death. We are united in his burial. We are united in his resurrection. We are united with him in receiving new life. Jesus is the firstborn among those who are raised from the dead. So So we've got this weird kind of balance where we love and we seek out that relief that comes from knowing that we don't have to be perfect with this ideal that says this is the way it should be. Do you ever struggle with that weird kind of? Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't ever struggle with this. Jesus is our goal. He's not just this picture of what we couldn't achieve or couldn't attain. He's the one that we are becoming like. I like the word cooperate. And I like Paul's other words that he uses to talk about these things. He talks about preparing. He talks about building up. He talks about becoming mature. He talks about growing up. He's talking about processes. He's talking about actively working so that we can become mature in Christ. Recently, we redid a corner of our front of our house. We've got this corner of landscaping, and it had those railroad ties that, you know, they're treated, but after 30 years or so, the bugs start to get to them. And they tell you not to put wood, to keep wood up against the house, because that's just an invitation for bugs that will damage your home. So we decided that we needed to take that out, and the corner was kind of messed up because we've got a gutter that's leaking and there's a faucet right there. And so we've got the corner of the house and this landscaping that's right there, and it's just not a very good area. It gets muddy easily, and there were rocks there, tons of little rocks, and it was just kind of annoying, and there were problems, so we had to fix it. We had to do something about it. And so I had some stones in the backyard, and so we got those stones and brought them up, and we tore out what was there, and we dug it out, and we took out all the little rocks, and we put these stones, and we lined the corner with stones, and then we laid stones on top, and we filled them in with some pretty stones, and we've got some stones that the kids have been around, the kids collected. They're different colors. We've got red and blue and orange and green and yellow and white and sparkly ones, and they're just kind of little in there, and it's not like they're diamond studded or something like that, and sapphires, or you know, but it's kind of neat and kind of pretty. And I actually finished the project when most of the kids weren't home. But the bulk of the work was done with the whole family. Our children moved rocks. We had tons of rocks, this big and this big and this big, and they're just, it was amazing. We made piles of the different sizes on the sidewalk up to the front door. And there were piles that were this big around, and they weren't extremely deep, but that big around of the different size rocks. These were just the ones that we took out of there. Then we had a big pile of dirt that we dug up. And all of that time, well, you know what? I didn't finish it alone. I set the big stones. We don't want any little fingers smashed. But I set the big stones, and then when the kids got home, they filled in, and they helped fill in the cracks, and they helped sort the other rocks, and they helped to create this finished product. I don't know if it's... You might look at it and be like, oh, you need to do this still. So it may not be done yet. But we now have this corner of stone. And it's great. We can step on it. We can stand on it. The water, any water that comes on it, it's not going to wash out the dirt. And the whole family worked on that, contributed to that. They did their part to help with that. They did what they could. Even though I've got young kids, 8, 6, 4, and not quite 2. Those are their ages. And they took something that was dying, and they made it into something beautiful. I'm very proud of them. I don't know if my oldest is listening, or my second oldest. But I'm very proud of them for their hard work, for their contribution, for cooperating with me when they cooperated with me. In doing that work to turn that which was tearing apart, which was falling apart, and making it something that was beautiful. I think it's beautiful. Do you like it? Do you think it looks good? No, she didn't. She's saying yes. That's what we do together, is we work together. It doesn't matter how young we are, how new we are in Christ. It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. We cooperate and we work together. And sometimes we can't do everything. We can't do all the different parts of the work that are being done. Sometimes we need those who are more mature in Christ to do the heavy lifting. Sometimes we need them to protect us from getting our fingers smashed. Sometimes we need them to give us a vision for our lives. It takes others in Christ to give us a vision, to help us understand who Jesus is so that we can work towards that goal, work towards being like Jesus. We need people to show us and tell us and encourage us and spur us on, to poke us and prod us. We need others in Christ. And so we cooperate with each other. We work together to build something that we couldn't do by ourselves. That's the body of Christ. But not just a body, a mature body. One that is like Christ. The thing there says Jesus is, and whatever you put on the back for you to finish that sentence, I'd like to encourage you to make Jesus your goal. We can set lots of goals. I want to give so much money, or I want to attend church more, or I want to pray more, I want to read my Bible more. There's all sorts of goals we can do and things that help us, but what the point is, what they're working towards and what we are working towards together as a congregation is growing up into Christ. But we need to have that as our vision. We need to have that as, in our minds, this is what we are working towards. When I see somebody else in the congregation, I look at them, I see somebody that I want to help become like Christ. When you see me, you see somebody that you want to help become like Christ. When you see somebody who is not in Christ, you want them to be in Christ. Is Jesus your goal?